Our God is the God of the impossible. Nothing is too difficult for Him. Praise His holy name. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your wonderful presence here. Your will be done in every heart today. I step on this platform on this beautiful Mother's Day with great joy and greater trepidation. But I remember that little is much when God is in it. So here, Heavenly Father, is my little. Please use it as You wish. Together, let us thank the Lord for His tremendous love, for His blessing, His grace, and His protection, and for all of our moms. Wishing a most happy Mother's Day to all the moms here and to those on Zoom, we include all the moms, physical moms, spiritual moms. By that, I mean those with no children of their own, but praying for their nieces, their nephew, their godchildren, those that God put on their heart. Prayers have been most important to me since my early childhood. I remember all our family gathering together in the large kitchen at home to pray daily, and also during the night when there were storms. This habit of praying has remained with me over the years. What a privilege we have to come to the throne room of our Almighty Father, God, and to pray for healing, for transformation, for answer to our many prayers. For most of us, Mother's Day is super special, celebrating our love for our moms and being celebrated by our children is so rewarding. Some of our sisters, hopefully very few, did not experience the love of their mom. Let us join hearts this morning. Let us forgive and pray a blessing on those who have given us life. When I look back at my life, I realize that God called me in every season to do things I was not ready, I was not prepared, I was not educated for, and most of the time I did a lot of it afraid. When I received the baptism, the Holy Spirit, on a marriage encounter weekend, I started reading and studying God's Word. Was I ever surprised at all the promises God had in His Word and that we could claim them and receive the help we so needed to walk in victory and joy? I found such an unbelievable promise as Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto Me, and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things you do not know. Imagine God speaking to us and telling us those things. Psalm 91:15. He will call upon Me, I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. And John 15:7. If you abide in Me and My word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. How grateful I was to have Scripture to encourage me and give me the strength to carry on what seemed really impossible to me. Today I lean on those moments that I live, and I challenge all the young people that I come in contact with to pray and believe big, because if God could do miracles for me, He will certainly do for them as well. As every good gift comes from Him. Even though I saw so many answers to prayers as I faced another mountain, I would forget for a little while how much He had helped me. You know, when you get those moments of doubts. Now, I do not want to spend any time in unbelief. I want to believe the Lord right away and claim His promise right away. One assignment the Lord gave my husband and I, and soon after we retired, was to help fellow parishioners open a home for the homeless men in our city. During that winter, while we were on vacation in Florida, we went to a small church in that beautiful town called Whitehaven, and a visiting prophet called us to the stage. He predicted many, many, many things over us. And one was that we were to open a home for drug addicts, alcoholic, and homeless. And they would also be teenager among the group. I did not want to hear that. Remembering how difficult the highest grade in school were, grade 8, were frightening to me. Upon returning home, our friend Ray at our church called us and say he was looking for people to come alongside him to open a home for the homeless. We said yes right away. What I appreciate a lot, too, that the Lord gave me is that my husband was along doing all the volunteer work with me. We did everything together after marriage encounter. And finally, that same year, we opened Jericho House with 5 men to start with. John and I worked many, many long hours at the beginning because volunteers were a little bit rare. And we loved those men more, or as much at least, as our own family. I must say that I was fearful, as I did not want to say anything to make them mad at me, or I was so new at all of this. I walked on eggshell for a while, but I kept praying, hoping, and learning. One day, Ray had to visit his son in London, who was sick. So John went to the hospital with each one of the men to kind of get their meds properly assigned because they came from the street. So I was often alone with the guys. I was preparing lunch when this fellow Don came in the kitchen and said to me, "Nicole, from the top of my head right down to here, it's not working very well." I panicked, wondering, how do I handle this? I knew that he was a heavy drug user before, and I was contemplating, do I call the police? Do I call 911? I put my 2 hands on his shoulder, and I said my longest prayer. "Lord, help." And Don said, "Nicole, I'm going to be okay." I said, "How's that, Don?" He said, "While you were praying, I looked out the window behind you and saw the cross on Canadian Martyr Church on Main Street. And Jesus told me, I am going to be okay." So I sent him back to his room, suggesting that he rest until lunch. And of course, I would. After he was back to his room, I thought, what have I done? What if he dies up there? Are they going to put me in jail? Am I going to be? I just didn't know. So I go upstairs and check, and the door of his room was open, and his feet were on one side. He could tell resting in his bed. 15 minutes, I went back and checked, and his feet was on the other side. I thought, he's alive. We're going to be okay. I realized that God answers the need of his people. Those men heard about the Lord in Christian shelters and on the street on Saturday night, because we used to go and spread the word on Saturday night. And I just love working at Jericho Road. It was like my second home, and John too, for John as well. We just love it there. And the guys, I must say, they like us too. But the biggest reward was when I found Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3 in my Bible. It reads, "How blessed is he who considered the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed, and in his illness he will restore him to health." What a promise. How true that we could never outgive our God. This work we love so much was so rewarded, we thought we didn't need anything else. But there it is. The Lord gives us protection from the word. We were grateful beyond words. I read a book a little after that about praying big, bold prayers, and it changed my life. It made me understand that not only was God capable, but willing to answer me. Because a lot of time I pray and I think he can do it for someone else, but will he do it for me? His perfect love for me cast out all fear each time I am in need and each time I pray. So for today, after prayer and fasting, I decided to share part of my testimony to continue to thank him for it and to encourage all the mom and youth never to be afraid to pray big prayers. God is able. When I was in Bible school, I teased some of my companions, showing them that God in Genesis 1, he never said that his creation was very good until after he created the woman. Check it out. And in the book of Joel, we will study soon in Armstrong. In fact, I think this week sometime, we notice that our Heavenly Father is very interested in generations. Families are very important to him. And I'm sure you will agree that we are so very blessed in this Life Center to see so many youth and so many babies coming to our church. We mothers and grandmothers are convinced that the babies are participating in our service as their little cries are interpreted as Amen and Hallelujah. God counts on us, Mom, to love, to teach, and to care for all those he trusts us with. We moms have to repeat over and over the same instruction as they're growing up, eh? Hoping our children will grow up able to listen, able to do, and continue to learn new skill and be positioned in a way to hear our Heavenly Father voice and obey him. At the beginning of every year, I pray, somebody told me that one time, and I've been doing it every year. I ask God for a special verse to learn, to claim, and memorize. A few years ago, he led me to Isaiah 59, 21, and it reads, oh, thank you, thank you. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is on you and my words which I've put on your, in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendant, nor from the mouth of your descendant, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. I was so happy to get this verse. I consider it a huge treasure because I desire more than anything else in life today that my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren would know, love, and serve the Lord. They would obey him and worship only him. When I look back on my life, I'm filled with awe and gratitude, remembering all my Heavenly Father has blessed me with. I was born in beautiful Gaspé, Quebec, the oldest of seven children, very poor, no running water, no electricity. We were poor, but we didn't know we were poor, as we were content with what we had, and Mom and Dad did the best to provide everything for us. God was the center of our lives, and every time the church was open, it seemed we were there. Each day at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., the church bell would ring, and we would stop all we were doing and pray together as a family, whether we were in the house, in the field, or in a barn. Being the oldest, I had the responsibility to help my mom with the homework. I developed a love of teaching very early and love helping. Little did I know that God was preparing me for the future. My sibling loved being helped, but I cannot say they enjoy my style because I demanded perfection. I helped each day with their homework before doing my own. Dad was a trucker and received a wonderful sum of $5.50 for a long, hard day's work. So when I finished grade 10 at the convent, there was no way I could continue my education 60 miles away and eventually get my teaching certificate. In those days, there was no student loan and there was no borrowing. So I was planning to go to Montreal when, in June, the person in charge of the school board came to my house and offered me to teach in the same school I attended as a child. 6 grades in a one-room school. Full of faith and dreams, I accepted. God had also prepared me because I had washed the floor in that school as I was going to high school, and I had written down all I could see on the walls anything that was there, including the schedule of each grade's work. I enjoyed 2 years of teaching there, but the girls whose dad could afford to pay for the education in the village were graduating and were available to get the post. My mom had worked in Montreal before marrying dad, so she always encouraged us to go where opportunity existed, even if it meant losing a person to help with all the work on the farm. I followed her advice and came to the big city, only to realize that it was hard to get a good job if you didn't speak English in Montreal in those days. So an uncle of mine invited me to Ottawa here. I came by train, and the very first ride along the canal convinced me that this was a very special part of God's paradise, and I decided right then and there I would never leave this beautiful place. And I didn't want to tell my uncle because I was afraid to scare him. I didn't want him to think he was stuck with me for life, you know. So I held my aunt during the day. She had five young kids, and I went to nearby high school to learn English at night. My English teacher became like a father to me. And after a few months, he took me to meet a trustee. Would you believe that after checking my performance in Gaspé, I began teaching in Ottawa, shortly thereafter a supply teacher. After 2 years of that, I decided to go to work in government, and I worked 18 years in there until major surgery forced me to retire. But God wasn't finished with me. A couple of years after I was home, I got a call one morning from the school where our children were going. That started a career for 18 years, teaching in the Catholic school, in the public school, and in the Jewish school. I thoroughly enjoyed the Catholic school, but was afraid to go to public school as I believe in error that if I mentioned God, they would fire me. And I knew I got talk about God all the time, so I thought it's only a matter of time they're going to have me out the door. One day, a principal in a public school who had called me so often during the last year, but I was busy every time they called, so I was glad, he wanted me for a day. So since I had no commitment for that day, I decided to go. I said, I'm coming, but you're not paying me. I'm not qualified. Can you imagine my surprise when after the Our Father was prayed at the intercom and we all prayed together, the whole school, I asked the student, tell me, what do you do on Monday morning after prayer? They said, Madame, today it's show and tell. I said, okay, show me. I don't know how to do that. So one row of students stood up, and the first child said, Sunday, I received my first communion at my church, and my grandma gave me this Bible as a gift. The whole row happened to go to the same church, and all talk about the gifts they had received from parents for their first communion. God was speaking to me loud and clear, and I realized the devil had a field day with me, keeping me scared all of these years. It was a miracle that I even got contracts in school, but I got all kinds of contracts, some for 6 months, some for 8 months. I saw God move so miraculously in all those classes. I would take classes nobody wanted. We were about 40 or more supply teachers at the time, and God gave me ideas and plans to encourage the kids to do their work with excellence. I would tremble, pray, and say, Lord, who am I that you bless me so much? I would get to school early in the morning and pray and announce each of my students' seat. I witnessed many miracles, some physical, and whole class giving their heart to the Lord, even if I was there only a week at the time. All these students have remained in my heart as I pray for them, not knowing what happened to them afterwards. Maybe you will agree with me that God has a soft spot in his heart for moms. To be fair, though, he loves everybody more than I could describe, and he's always ready to hear and answer us. Today, I hope and pray you will get a special revelation of his great love for you, and that healing, wisdom, joy, peace will overtake you. I believe you know that the Almighty God we serve has a tremendous sense of humor. Are true that his ways are far above our ways and his thoughts far above ours, as Isaiah 58, verse 8 and 9 say. If If you allow me, I will relate a couple of incidents proving this point. Almighty God might have been sitting on his throne laughing when this happened, but I was scared and in dire need of help. Because in front of the student, you really have to produce, you have to perform, or else you're in trouble. Once replacing an art teacher on maternity leave, I asked the kids to pray a short prayer before we start our project. I went ahead. It went very well with all the grades except grade 8. I got a memory blank, and I froze. Frightened beyond description, knowing I would never start my class without praying, I prayed silently, "Lord, please help me." He helped me, all right. He gave me Psalm 81:10, which says, look at this, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." Can you imagine what went through my mind? I questioned the Lord. Could you not find, Lord, something else in all your word? In situation like this, seconds seem like an eternity to me. I decided to obey, not knowing how it would end, because I had 28 beautiful, smart kids in front of me that I really wanted to please. Believe it or not, I started walking around my desk, and at every corner, I stopped, opened my mouth wide, and I looked to heaven. I did that for one turn, nothing happened. Two turns, nothing happened. Three turns, nothing happened. Now I was desperate and I was praying for rapture for sure. Then one student, the one who had resisted prayer the most in the past, his name was Luke. He said, Madame. Oh, I was so happy for the distraction. I said, yes, Luke, what is it, dear? Why don't we pray? He said, we work so much better when we pray. I nearly fainted on the spot. I moved over. I was afraid to be consumed. I thought God was right there. From that day on, it was a pleasure to be in their class. Yes, God answered my prayer, but certainly not the way I expected it. Another time when I needed tons of prayers was when I accepted the challenge to teach a class not far from here until they could get a qualified teacher to finish the year. Their original teacher had a nervous breakdown, and many teachers had tried, some of them staying only one day. The class was unbelievably challenging. In the teacher lounge on that morning, some were saying to me, "You don't know what will be required of you, and you don't know that it's next to impossible to keep that group together." Soon it was 9 a.m., and time to pray the Our Father with the whole school. I noticed a small boy acting up already. So I walk over, smile at him, and stood near him, hoping he would calm down. As soon as we said amen, he looked around and said to me, "I can tell you don't like me." And without thinking, I said, "Listen to this. I can give you 10 reasons why I like you." My dear friend put his two fists on his hips, and he looked at me and he said, "Okay, teacher, shoot." And I thought to myself, "Lord, give me 10 things. I don't know that guy." So I started saying, "I like you because your clothes are so clean. I like you because you have a very nice haircut. I like you because you got a good and straight posture." He said, okay, teacher, don't overdo it. At that, he turned around and sat down. And he was working very well for me all that day. I believe the prayers prayed prior to these days were heard by a loving Father. And he's forever ready to bless us as we are all his children, regardless of our age. That I like to think of that I'm his child. Mom, I would like to encourage you to pray for your children and all those whose name the Lord puts, the Holy Spirit whisper in your ears. Please, never give up, and don't forget to pray big, bold prayers. As for the rest of us, let us support families in our communities. If everyone would do one small service once in a while to the moms around us, we would see a much different world. It is very fitting that a day has been set apart to celebrate mothers. So we all want the moms to know that we love them, appreciate all that they do, and bless them with prayers and care. Let us even discover a small need they may have and do what we can to show them how much we love them. It is an awesome privilege for me to join together with you all to pray for all the mom, that all the mom will lean heavily on our Almighty God, to trust Him in all circumstances for their beloved one, and to seek the wisdom to make the right decision all the time regarding the children. An atmosphere filled with prayers in each home, a loving, quiet place where discipline is administered with love, parents loving each other and working together to keep unity, order, and fun would be noticed by neighbors and would bless them as well as us. We also need to pray for those near mom and dads who have children away from home and they have no idea where they are or how they are doing. At the time of Jesus on earth, we notice in the gospel that quite a few women were following him and serving him, even going from town to town during his 3 years of public ministry. Having visited Israel, I admire all those that have to travel there because I notice it's mountain after mountains and sand everywhere. I was wondering, where's the space where you could set camp and relax? These women with Jesus had to be extremely courageous, able to get along and move as soon as Jesus was ready because he went from town to town with his group. Could we possibly imagine cooking a meal for the Lord? Could we possibly imagine hearing his teaching right from his mouth or witnessing the miracles he performed? No wonder these women were fearless and followed him right up to the cross. Jesus is so open to us and wants us to make our requests to the Father in his name. Let us never forget, he is as close to us as our next breath. And he delights in helping us. He is the one, the only one, able to lead us to the Father. Often have we been told to go through Jesus if we want to get closer to Father God. I pray all of us here seek God with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength in Jesus' name. Now, could I pray one of my favorite prayers over you? It's from Ephesians 1, verse 16 to 19a. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saint, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward those who believe. Beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May he give you peace. Happy Mother's Day, dear mom. Love, blessing, and prayer. I and we love you.